Been here for 36 years already in Perth. It was at 36 years? Huh? 20, sorry. See, my husband is always the pillar of my life, you know. 26 years. Wow, it's been a long time, huh? Even 26 years deserve a clap. Wow, and 26 years, of course, not just in Perth. The first place I come to is Grey City Church. Because the reason why I came to Perth, the only reason why I came to Perth, is because from Singapore, we were told that they were supporting a work in Perth. And so when we were thinking of migration, there is no other church we want to go to. No other country we want to migrate to, except the church that was being supported from Singapore. And so we came here 26 years. Wow, that's amazing. God is so good. God is so good. Right. You can tell by now I'm a teacher. But when you came in this morning, I don't know whether you noticed anything new. Yeah, the church has got a makeover. We've got this screen behind us and we've got the painting. If you realize, if you're out at the foyer, we have got all the paint work done and the cross is put up in a beautiful fashion. I know Pastor Stewart and Pastor Jim won't be up here announcing this because they were actively involved in doing everything. So I think they deserve a big round of applause. God is mighty in them. God is enabling them to climb up, down, do this, that, and the other. You know, like I can go out of the church, come back, and the wall is painted because God's might is in them. Huh? God is so good to us this morning. Let's ask the Lord to bless the time together. Father, we are so thankful that in your presence there is fullness of joy. I mean, we are surrounded by so many things around us that can cost us our joy. But just being in your presence and with your people, Lord, we can sense your goodness here. We can sense your fullness here. And we can sense your stability here. And we thank you, dear Lord, for today. Even as your word is being released, I pray that there will be healing. Lord, you say there will be miracles. We ask for that miracle of healing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. Suppose COVID is totally gone and we bounce back to the new normal, what's the first thing you would notice? Okay. You've got a neighbor next to you. Just in one sentence, tell your neighbor what would be the first thing you would notice. Very good. Well, today my topic is bouncing back. Suppose all the problems you are facing now are gone and all your bad memories of the past are wiped away, including the COVID pandemic memories, are all wiped away. What's the first thing you would notice? No need to tell your neighbor, right? But it's kind of good to ask questions like this, you know? Well, I guess the first thing you would notice probably is that you will have the bounce to go to the airport, bounce to go to the city without having to worry about social distancing. You will have the bounce. You will have the energy and the enthusiasm. Not a basketball player, I was a volleyball player in school, but you will have the bounce and the enthusiasm like this very well-pumped beach ball, and you will feel lighter, it's really light, and you will go further. Henry. And in this pandemic, we certainly need to learn how to bounce back better and bounce back quicker. We need to do that. And I reckon when Joseph in the Old Testament named his second son Ephraim, which means fruitfulness, Joseph was having a great bounce in his life. He bounced back. He could name his second son Ephraim, which means fruitfulness. That means he has bounced back. You would have named your son Misery if you have not bounced back. But he named his son Fruitfulness. See, Joseph had bounced back from all his setbacks, and he had his setback starting from the age of 17. When he was bitterly betrayed by his brothers, he was forcibly separated from his father, whom he loved, and whom his father loved as well. He was separated from his favorite brother when he was 17. And when he was in the household of Potiphar, he had experienced high impact events because he was accused of seducing his employer's wife and then subsequently sent into prison. We live in a very imperfect world. And I think this COVID has shown us exactly that. That we really live in a very imperfect world, because no one, no matter how fortunate you are, is immune to negative events in life. We go through illness, injury, or we have somebody else in our family, someone significant having illness or injury. We have abuse, we have abandonment, we have betrayal, we have brokenness. Things in life sometimes don't go the way we want. But it's not a surprise, because Jesus said, in this world, you will have many troubles. So in the pit, when he was thrown into the pit by his brothers, and in the prison when he was thrown by the guards, where family and foe were out to harm Joseph, Joseph must have felt not like that bouncing ball. He must have felt like a deflated ball. He's got all the air in there once because he was a favorite son. He was wearing the most brilliant multicolored coat, which the father only gave him. He must be so inflated. But now at this time, he was deflated like this deflated beach ball. I wonder if we are in the same position as Joseph, whether or not we would lose faith and we would lose fight if we are put in his shoes. I want to say this, that any negative experience in our life is a fact of life. We experience negative things in our life. It's a fact of life. But it need not be a life sentence. Wow, I'm preaching hope to you. So good. Any negative experience is a fact of life, but it needs not be a life sentence. We don't have to forever be walking around wounded, even though we have been wounded. We don't have to wait for that moment where the straw will break the camel's back, like we are so vigilant waiting for accidents to happen. We don't have to live like that. And we don't have to have the monkey on our back. If you don't like the monkey on your back, just throw him off. Hallelujah. Any negative event will impact us, but it need not be a life sentence. We need not be put in that position permanently. So what do we do if we want to bounce back? Today I'm going to give you two keys, and I'm going to use the names of the sons of Joseph to give you these two keys on how you can bounce back. Number one, the number one son of Joseph was the name Manasseh. Manasseh. Manasseh means forgetfulness. I deliberately put that eraser on the PowerPoint because when we were in Croatia, I went to a museum and they were selling this bad memories eraser for, I think, $8. I just regretted that I didn't get more. I only got one, you know, and now I can't travel there. And it's so good. If only our memories are so easy to erase, huh? Just use the eraser. But the museum has a great sense of humor, you know, like if you've got bad memories, I think it's good to erase them and not have to hang on to them like a life sentence, yeah? So the name of Manasseh means forgetfulness. And here in Genesis chapter 41, verse 51, if you are doing a bit of your Bible searching, it's found in Genesis chapter 41, verse 51. The reason why Joseph named his son Manasseh was he said, God has made me forget entirely my troubles and my father's house. God has enabled Joseph to forget the toil and the harsh treatment of his brothers when he was staying in his father's house. God has helped him forget the sorrows he was enduring when he was a slave in Egypt. This morning, if we want to bounce back like that very healthy ball, Henry, would you just toss the ball in the air? If you want to, okay. If you want to bounce back, you need to practice forgetfulness. You need to practice forgetfulness. I was just checking the root meaning, the root meaning of forgetfulness. Forget is to, like the water evaporating due to heat, it just dissolves. To forget means it's like the evaporation of a memory, the way water evaporates due to heat. Wow, that's amazing. The word forget is also an upward motion of something, as though something is being pulled up so that it is removed. So the memory is lifted up, carried, and taken away. That's the meaning of to forget. What do you need to forget this morning? You may say, but you didn't talk to me yet. If you only know how unforgettable my setback is, you would not be able to forget. Now, I tell you, Joseph could forget because he allowed God to step in. If God didn't intervene, Joseph would have harbored these hurts in his life, the harm that was done by his brothers, the harm that was done by his master's wife. He would have harbored these hurts in his heart and let them poison him. Because he says in Genesis 50:20, he says, "You intended to harm me," he told his brothers, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. For memories that are so unforgettable that it can be a stumbling block, find strength beyond yourself. Turn to God and bring your pain to the Lord. St. Paul had many setbacks. If you read his life story in the book of Acts and in the other epistles of St. Paul, you will know that Paul has got a lot of setbacks. If you talk about bouncing back, he will tell you, wow, I really have a lot of things that kept me really down. And St. Paul says, I can only do this. I can only let the memories of my setbacks evaporate like water in heat only because of God. Because he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, he says, our great power is from God, not from ourselves. How can you make memory just go off like that? How can an eraser just erase your bad memories like that? Of course not. It was at the Museum of the Broken Relationships, that's what it was. And they were trying to, you know, do erasers for, of course, mementos and, of course, tourist currency, yeah? But how can it be so easy? But Paul says here, our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And then he says, we are hard-pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. What did Paul say? We bounce back. We are perplexed but not driven to despair because we bounce back. This COVID is hitting us really hard. Some of us are in despair. People that are connected to us may be in despair, but we bounce back. Paul says we are hunted down but never abandoned by God because we bounce back. The power that is given by God helps us to bounce back. We can get knocked down, but we are not destroyed Because Paul says the power of God enabled him to bounce back. But what's so good about bouncing back? Because negative experience in life can make you shrink back, can make you play the victim, can make you allow fear rather than joy to rule in your life. That's why we want to bounce back. Because when you bounce back, your faith will feed your mental health. This day, mental health is number one topic. Well, and I tell you what, when we are in the church, listening to the word of God, listening to the hope of God, we are in the best position to apply all this into our mental health. When you develop thoughts of faith, that's when you build neural pathways in your mind and you build highways of hope. Some of us are not like the engineers of our church, Norman and all the rest of it, who can build highways and byways and roads and railways. Yeah, but by faith, we can actually begin to build pathways of hope, pathways of joy into our mind. So the mind is a very fascinating thing. Each day, we have a mental traffic of 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts. Oh, some of you are deep thinkers, 70,000 thoughts. Some of you not so deep, 50,000 thoughts. We have got a mental traffic of 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts. That's a lot of thoughts going through our mind. Wow. And if you have the wrong train of thoughts, it will lead you to the wrong destination. So you must be careful of the thought carriages that you are hopping on. We were in Japan. We were coming home from Japan, and we were all excited to come home, of course. And then we were told that we need to go on to a carriage 4 to bring us to the airport. And so we saw 4, and so we jumped into the train. And then after like half an hour, it was going and going and going, was going to the whoop whoop, you know. It was dark because it was in the evening time. And finally, when we found out where we were really in the countryside. Because we jumped onto the wrong carriage. It's going somewhere, but it was going to the wrong place. And the reason why we saw 4 and it was not the right carriage was because we saw door number 4, thinking it was carriage 4, and that's how we ended. But the beautiful story of it was that I prayed for 1 hour for Japan in tongues during that time because we needed to catch the plane. And finally, a great miracle happened to us. We managed to go on time and managed to catch our flight. And even though we are so late, God is so good. See, we have got thought carriages. So if you hop on the wrong thought carriage, then you may go to the wrong place. We must say goodbye to our pain and we must shake off the dust from memories that do not help us. We've got to ask ourselves, if these memories of our situation are not working, then we need to release them. If something is not working in your house, what do you do with them? Do you release them? Do you throw them away? Some of you will recycle, but yeah, please recycle and don't keep all the things that are not working in your garage and they're not working, but you're not releasing them, right? The actual good thing to do is to, if they're not working, release them. If your memories of things that are not good for you are not helpful to you, they are not working, release them. Because if not, there will be a perpetual war inside you. The mental chatter of 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts are going to be very destructive to you. Joseph, when he was going through distress, he could have said something like, my future is gone because I have got mean brothers. Or he could say, I will feel insecure because my father will never be with me again. His father really loved him, you know. And he was without his father since 17, being brought into a foreign land. He could have said, I will feel insecure because my father will never be with me again. No WhatsApp at that time, no Google, no nothing. So the father couldn't contact him, didn't know whether he was dead. In fact, the father thought he was dead because the brothers actually took back the garment that was full of blood and said, our brother is dead, killed by the animals. Of course, they lied. They were the ones who put him into the hole. Joseph could have this mental traffic to say, God doesn't love me. Obviously, he doesn't because he gave me a hard life. See, in life, if we keep digging deep into the unfairness of whatever that happens to us, and we nurse our pain, we curse our pain, we rehearse our pain, it's not going to be helpful. Because the repetition will only make it really hard to understand and make it really hard to make you come out of a situation, because we will then be ruminating the events in our head and keep practicing the scripts. Practice makes perfect. And if you keep practicing all the bad memories, I took very long to actually get over all my good memories, even of Singapore. That's why I took 2 years, you know, took 2 years to walk the river, took too long. Because whilst my mind was all occupied with the good memories of Singapore, guess what? I can't live out the good life in Perth. Good thing we stay here for 26 years. So 26 minus 2, 24 good years. Could have been 26 good years. Never mind. God is so good to me. So to bounce back, we need to look at events, even though they may be negative or even though they may be positive from the past, we need to reframe the events from the lenses of God's goodness, always. Because if we can see it from God's perspective and from God's goodness, then a lot of things in your life will be seen in a different light. This morning, my friend from Hong Kong sent me this song, Goodness of God. You know the song, we've sung that one before. I love you, Lord. Yeah. For your mercy never fails me. I've been held all my days. I've been held in your hands. You know that song? From the moment I wake up. And so my friend sent me this song without realizing that I was preaching this message and has got this line in it, that in order to bounce back, you need to reframe events from the lenses of God's goodness. And then she said, and she's a very exuberant, very lively girl. I couldn't say what she said, but she says that to me, but I say that to you. That you need to know that God is good and that no one is good except God. And this is what she says. She says, may the glory of God shine in you this morning big. May he wrap you in his arms and cuddle you like never before. And may you know his love for you is more than enough. I'd like you to really feel the cuddle. I know I've been cuddling a lot of my grandson for the last 4 months, you know. I didn't know what the word cuddle meant. Well, I know what it meant, of course. But I didn't know what it meant, you know. No, you're confused, right? But I didn't know, you know, cuddling. So for 4 months, my son-in-law always, when I come near to him and his son, he would say, want some cuddles? And then I carry over, and, oh, I see that's cuddling. Oh. So my friend, who is a very expressive girl, says, may the Lord, or may the good Lord, wrap you in his arms and cuddle you like never before. Because God is truly good. Because in Psalms 37, verse 28, it says, the Lord forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. Wow. It's good to read this in COVID, no? The Lord upholds, in Psalms 145, verse 14, the Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that are bowed down. The Lord is here. The good Lord is here. And if we can see through the lenses of God's goodness, then we are able to bounce back. I believe the reason why Joseph could forgive the brothers when they came to Egypt asking for food was not because he had that forgiveness on that day to give. I believe that he already forgave them way before that day. Way before, when he was 17, when he was ill-treated, he already forgave his brothers. He already forgave them because he saw the bigger picture of God. He saw the footprints and the fingerprints in every detail of his life. Do you know God's footprints and fingerprints are all over every detail of our life? It's amazing. It's amazing. God loves us so much. I thought I was reading from Isaiah 49 before I went to Mount Kinabalu the other time. But when I went over there, the prayer person who was praying for the whole conference came out with the exact Isaiah 49 verse that my name and your name is written in the palm of God's hand and that your walls, my walls, are ever before him. God knows every detail and he loves to delight us like that, you know, and tell us, hey girl, I know. I'm preaching on goodness. My friends say goodness of God. It says God knows. God knows how to encourage us. Because I was just wondering whether I should be preaching this sermon this morning. But hey, God knows. Amen. I believe that Joseph would have forgiven them. Joseph would have his mental traffic transformed and changed, and rehearsing statements like, my brothers were mean, but God is good, and my future is secure in him. That's how he's able to totally forget and totally forgive his brothers. I believe Joseph is also saying, I don't know when I will see my father again. I really missed him. But God sent me fatherly figures to promote me. For example, Potiphar and the Pharaohs. I believe what went through Joseph's mind because of the enablement of God is that he will say something like, whatever life God gives me, he knows best how to do me good because he's a good God. He is still on his throne. Hallelujah. This morning, we want to bounce back. We want to be able to live a life that is free and be able to be like that bouncing beach ball. Then we need to learn to forget, just like the name of the son of Joseph suggests, that we are able to forget. We are able to let whichever that is negative or even positive things. Don't keep clinging on to positive memories. What for? Occupy space. You know, let those positive memories go. All the good food from your country, let them go. Don't occupy space in your mind. Cook those food here. Enjoy those food here. Look for those food fair that got the food of your country and enjoy. Leave those things there. Forget about the house in your country of origin or whatever it is. Let those positive memories go and let the Lord bring you into another season. Because I believe the second name of the son of Joseph is equally important. Not only do you want to forget and let memories that are positive or negative evaporate like water under heat, but God also wants us to have the second anointing. And I believe it's called the Ephraim anointing. Joseph named his second son Ephraim. Ephraim means fruitfulness. Wow, this is looking good, man. All the fruit in the background. Fruitfulness. And in Genesis 41:52, Joseph says, I name my son Ephraim because God has made me fruitful in the land of his affliction. This is already a paradox there. You know, we think in our natural mind, how could a time of affliction be a time of fruitfulness? How can it be? A time of affliction should be a time of misery, a time of sadness, despondence. Here, he says, God has made me fruitful in the land of his affliction, which means fruitfulness can come from our afflictions. This is mind-blowing. But where we are in this COVID season, I pray that you will learn the fruitfulness of God, even in a time where we are not the same, where we are still wanting to bounce back. Our economy is doing very well in Perth, but we want to be able to bounce back to where we were, or even better, to be even more fruitful. But during this time, fruitfulness can come from a time of afflictions. It can. Believe it. Right? Because this is what the second son of Joseph's name meant. See, our body doesn't like discomfort. It's true. Now, if you're going to jump into the ocean, I don't think any of you would love the idea. Because our bodies don't like discomfort. We like to maybe go into a spa at this moment, warm and nice, but not to the ocean, cold and icy, right? Because our bodies don't like discomfort. But you know what we need to do? We need to develop what I call the distress tolerance. In other words, our ability to tolerate distress. Because it is through the dynamic and emerging process of waiting and watching with God, even in a time of affliction, that you will begin to see that solutions will arise and fruitfulness will result. It's to wait and watch with God to see what can happen in the time of affliction, because that's where fruitfulness will come as we begin to wait with God. See, when we are in affliction, don't focus on your feelings. Don't let our feelings lead us, because usually when we are in affliction, they are feelings of anxieties, of cares and concern. That's why Luke chapter 8 verse 14 says, care and concern can hinder the seed from being fruitful. You see, the sower went to the field, sowed the seeds, and some seeds are able to produce good fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold, but some seeds, they are not able to produce fruit because the cares and concern come and cover them up so that they are not able to grow fruitfully. So the antidote to this is to learn to cast our cares upon the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us to cast on the Lord our cares or those feelings that are anxious or are not fruitful. And to realize that when we do that, that God has our back, because it's a good God. Go through the lens of God's goodness. God has your well-being in mind, and God watches over us. God watches over us. The key to Joseph being able to bounce back so well was because he has the presence of God in his life. This morning, Pastor said, the presence of God is in our midst. Truly, he is. And the song also says, even if you do not know it, he is still here. If you feel it, he's still here. How good is that? God's presence doesn't depend on our feelings. How good is that? God's presence is here. And the key to Joseph being able to bounce back was because of the presence of God, which was visible in his life. Because in Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 to 3, it says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. The Lord gave him success in everything he had. When we depend on the Lord and cling on to him like branch to the vine, then we will be able to experience fruitfulness even in a time of affliction. And we can be fruitful in terms of having the promises of God being fulfilled. So when Joseph became fruitful, it was because his father prophesied over him. He called off his 12 sons, and then he prophesied over Joseph. And Jacob says this of Joseph. Jacob says, Joseph, you are a fruitful vine. a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall because of the hand of the mighty one who blesses you with the blessings of a prince. I love for it that when we are going through a difficult time, that we are able to be fruitful in our understanding of God. And that is to cling on to the promises of God, to cling on to the prophecies of God. What has God spoken to you in the past? Maybe it's time to remember them. Because sometimes we forget those things. We, rather than forgetting the bad memories, we forget the good stuff that God has spoken into our life. Perhaps it's time, like the second son's name, Ephraim, is to be able to be fruitful in the way we think around what God has actually promised us in the past. I use this word because I love coffee. It's to let God's word and God's promise percolate in your heart. Slowly brew. Let it percolate in your heart. The words that have been spoken over you as a child. There are some good things that are spoken over you as a child. You need to remember those things. Hold on to those things that are good. Yeah, those that are not good, let them go. Those that are good, hold on to them. Let them percolate in your heart. Some of you have been spoken over by people in the church. Some of the good things that God has spoken over you, hold on to them. Let the words percolate in your heart. Remember them, cling on to them. So that when you go through a difficult time, you can be fruitful still when you remember those things that God has promised you. I believe if I open up this time to people to give testimony of how words have been spoken over you, and now as you are in a difficult position, you remember them, and how God used the percolated words in your spirit to begin to feed you. Wow. So good. So good. Joseph clung on to the promise of the Father. Joseph clung on to the words of his father. Some of us have got mentors. Some of us got spiritual fathers. It's good to hear them out and begin to use those words and feed your soul. It is so good to be able to do that. And so Joseph hung on to all the promises of God. He hung on to what his father said. He let those words percolate in his spirit and begin to make him fruitful in a time of affliction. Hallelujah. The other thing you can be fruitful with in a time of affliction, in a time such as this, is to be fruitful with your giftings. You need to take an inventory of what you still have. The trouble is sometimes when you go through a difficult time, it's as though you have no resources. No, you do have resources. You need to take an inventory of what you still have, and then you brainstorm new ways to thrive. Like in the COVID, we painted our church. Wow. That's a new way to thrive. And we have the screen, huh? We have this big screen. Funny thing is, bad habits. Sometimes we are so used to seeing things from that. This morning, I was still looking at that screen without realizing that there's a bigger screen here. Yeah. This an aside. This is just an aside. But, you know, even in a time such as this, don't be in misery. Do something new. Brainstorm new ways to thrive. New ways to create. New ways to execute realistic plans for the future. World Health Organization says that if you are a mentally healthy person, you are these four things. This is who, right? A World Health Organization says if you are mentally healthy, you feel good about your abilities. You cope well with the stresses of life. So far, so good. Now we've gone through this COVID, huh? Not cautious, but not hypervigilant. So we are able to cope well with the stresses of life. You're able to work productively and fruitfully. Oh, that's my word there. And you are able to make a contribution to your community. This is what World Health Organization says a mentally healthy person is. Joseph capitalized on his strength and he took positive actions wherever he goes. When he was in a prison, he served the warden. When he was in a prison, he interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. When he was in a household of Potiphar, he served the household well. He capitalized on his strength and he took positive actions. He served the pharaohs in governing the country, bringing the country from famine to fruitfulness. See, Joseph recognized the value of adding value. I pray that if you want to bounce back from any sort of situation, not only do we forget about things that bring us down, we also become fruitful in the things that we do, that we recognize the value of adding value. So for Joseph, he gave all these positive actions in order to help others succeed. He was in a difficult position, but he helped other people succeed. We are in a difficult position. Some people around us are really suffering. And we need to be able to give in order to help them succeed. See, Joseph didn't have the freedom to do what he liked, unlike a lot of us in Australia, even in this very difficult time, where we can chase our dreams still. You know, some people are changing jobs even up to this time. Some people are doing studies even up to this time. We are still able to chase our dreams. Joseph was a slave. In other words, he cannot choose what he wants to do. Everything that he has done was given to him to do. But he has got a great attitude. Whatever he was given to do, he was so fruitful. He developed a liking for it and he developed a flair for it. We need to have this attitude. Whatever thing that we are given, whilst you are still shifting places and changing whatever, we need to develop a liking for things and a flair for it, because that's your attitude of fruitfulness. And the reason why Joseph could do that is because he knew that God is intimately involved in his life. And so he committed himself to God and he committed to growth. Whatever you are given, be disciplined just as Joseph is. Joseph was disciplined with the help of God and he got better one day at a time. And he began to see fruit he never grew. He never grew those fruit trees, but he saw fruit because the fruit overflowed from his pure obedience to God. I pray today we will learn to attach ourselves to this God and be in a synergistic relationship with him and to bear his fruit. In the case of Joseph, God in his biggest scheme of things has orchestrated everything for the greater good of Israel. God has preserved Israel in the midst of famine through Joseph. We are not different. We may not be called Joseph. Some of us are called Joseph, or at least one I know. It's called Joseph, but not all of us are called Joseph. But you know what I mean? We can be Josephs. It just means that we can have that anointing of Joseph. God has a plan. And truly, like what Pastor said just now, God has a plan for us. God has a plan. Was it Pastor or is it Christine? Yeah, I heard that. God has a plan. God has a plan to make us bear fruit. But we need to take heed to what God's word is, and that is to forget those things that hinder us, that limit us. We must let them evaporate in the presence of God and then be able to bear his fruit, to be able to bounce back to a fruitful present. And I want to believe a future that it will be transformed and liberated by the presence of God if we clung on to him and believe him for who he is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. just want to say that whether we are inflated as a beach ball or deflated as a beach ball, whether we are in a good state or in not so good a state, we are so well loved by the Father. So, so well loved. God never left Joseph, even when Joseph was running away, when Joseph was in his most bottom state of his condition. God never, never left him. Our value never changed. Our value never changed because God believes consistently in our value as his child. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to say in the words of my friend that truly God loves you big, and God wants to cuddle you in his arms, and God wants to hold you and tell you that you are his precious child. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters, that we can sit in your presence knowing, dear Lord, that whatever condition we are in, and you know our condition, dear Lord, whether we are happy or not so happy, sad or not so sad, whatever it is, dear Lord, you love us for who we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We are so well loved by the Father. The same word the Father told Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Do you know it's the same word he speaks to us? That we are his beloved children in whom the Father is well pleased. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This morning be affirmed that God loves you so much and has a plan to prosper you into the future. Thank you, Lord. But I just sense that if there are things that hold us back from being fruitful, and if it could be memories or people or whatever images that you have in your life that is making you less fruitful, today the Lord wants you to make an effort to come to him and tell him that, Lord, I want to forget that. I want to bring it to your presence, and I want to forget all these things so that it doesn't come in the way of my fruitfulness. If that is you, maybe this is your morning to tell the Lord some things. In your own way, in your own seat, would you dialogue with the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. And just let the song minister to you. So if you can have a silent, more silent sort of a song, that would be really nice. And you dialogue with God. You tell God exactly what is in your memory bank. What is in your mental chatter? What is in your thought carriage that you need to hop off? You need to hop off. Some thought carriages bring you nowhere. They bring you wrong places. You need to hop off. This morning, if that is you, you need to come before the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry for that thought which I put in my life that is preventing me from being fruitful. Lord, I want to hop off that carriage." Would you do that? Would you talk to the Lord as we minister to you?
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise.
way maker, Lord. And today you are the healer of our hearts. And today you are the stopper of our thoughts. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, this morning you heard all the prayers that we have made to you, dear God. And Lord, we have made a decision to jump off those carriage of thoughts that are not helpful to us in our progress as a child of God. And Lord, please honor our action that today we say we want to be off that carriage, and please help us not to jump back in again. Help us, Lord. Prevent us, O Lord. Heal our hearts, O Lord, because Lord, you have got another train in store for us, the train that is going somewhere, the train that is going into the fruitful plan of God. I speak, dear Lord, your fruitfulness into your people. Whatever dreams that we have, dear God, that are of you, whatever abilities that are from you, that are of you, Lord, I just pray that God, your Spirit will come and begin to activate, oh Lord, begin to bring all the sap of life, the energy of life into those plans again, into those dreams again, into the hearts today, dear Lord, so that we can be that husband or that wife or the mother or the father or that friend or that colleague or that boss, dear Lord, today, that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That when people look at us, they will say, wow, I sense the presence of God in you. I can see God in you because you are that fruitful person. I release, oh Lord, fruitfulness into individual lives, and I release, oh Lord, fruitfulness into the church. We give you thanks, Lord, because we believe in faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people say, amen, amen.
Say this with me. Lord, I believe in the power of your Spirit.
The power of your Spirit.
I bounce back. I believe in the power of your Spirit.
The power of your Spirit.
I bounce up. I believe in the power of your Spirit.
The power of your Spirit.
I bounce higher. Lord, we declare this confession,
yes,
because we know that you can make a way. You are the way maker, Lord. We know, God, that you are the promise keeper. Nothing is too hard for you. For whatever you say in your promise is yes and yes, oh God. So we agree and say to you, amen and amen. We thank you, God, for the new work they are doing in the life of your people, setting us free, lifting us up by the power of your Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead today works among us to lift us up in authority and in the power of your Spirit. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be in a hurry to go.